Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. One of the many important policy changes that ended up getting put on hold in 2020 as a result of the pandemic was North Carolina's long-planned shift in how it delivers the Medicaid health insurance program. Under the shift, which is now finally underway, Medicaid is being changed from a fee-for-service model to a managed care system. This shift will have a profound impact on the nearly 2 million North Carolinians Medicaid covers, and to its credit, the state is taking action to inform and empower them by establishing an ombudsman program that will serve as a resource and assist in the transition. Recently, in an effort to learn more about the transition and the ombudsman program, I got a chance to chat with one of the state's most knowledgeable advocates when it comes to public safety net programs for people in need, veteran Charlotte Center for Legal Advocacy attorney Doug C. Welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
So the topic today is Medicaid and the fact that North Carolina has for years operated its Medicaid program, which is a health insurance program for low-income people and disabled folks, in one way, and now we're transitioning to another way. It's a process that's been several years in the making, but I gather it's actually going to happen. Can you talk to us a little bit about what this whole thing is all about?
Sure. Well, as you said, Medicaid is, you know, it serves almost 2 million North Carolinians. And that's even though we haven't expanded Medicaid eligibility as most other states have. And, of course, there's a big proposal right now that's very important before the legislature, where the feds are offering us over $2 billion to please let them pay for the vast majority of the costs of expanding Medicaid to cover all poor folks in North Carolina. But in the meantime, we have what we have, and the state is in the middle of transitioning from a system where the state would pay health care providers, doctors, and others directly into a managed care system where the state has contracted with these private health insurance companies to set up networks of doctors and other providers, and then people are required to choose a health plan, or the state will choose one for them. And then the doctor has to request approval from that plan for some services, and that you have to stay generally within that network of providers for that particular plan. So that is managed care. There are some good components to it. There's efforts to address social determinants of health and provide real care management. There's a lot of beneficiary protections built in, but the, you know, whether how this works in the real world is what we as advocates are trying to watch carefully and are concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, I've understood from the beginning that a lot of what's driving this is, of course, the desire to control costs. There's a notion that managed care does a better job of that. But, of course, the people who are chiefly served by Medicaid are often people of limited means, perhaps limited access to information, may not have the all the resources they need to be intentional shoppers for healthcare and all the things we would all love to be able to do. So there's some real challenges if you're a low-income person struggling to get by to even sort of understand what this means for me, right?
Well, right, and that's particularly true because managed care is a completely new concept in North Carolina to Medicaid, with the exception of behavioral health services. So it's a completely new idea. The beneficiaries do not understand and have not really given enough opportunity to learn. This is why programs like the Ombudsman Program that the state has created are so important to assist beneficiaries with that process. I need to clarify that I am speaking today as an attorney at Charlotte Center for Legal Advocacy. I'm not speaking on behalf of the department. I'm not speaking on behalf of the Ombudsman Program.
Right.
But it is true that I work for an agency that has been awarded, along with Legal Aid and PSCA Legal Services, the Ombudsman contract to be independent advocates and to assist beneficiaries in navigating this new system and solving problems so that they can get the care that they need.
This new Ombudsman Program, is it sort of a recognition by the folks who are implementing this at the state level that it's going to be complicated? There's going to be a lot of people who aren't going to understand what this means, how it works, who they call when they have a problem or a question. And I gather that's a lot of what this new Ombudsman Program is designed to address?
That's right. It's really, you know, a no wrong door center where we will, if we can't directly help people, we will be helping people get to the person that that can help them. Mm-hmm. We won't be enrolling people in plans. That's a different group that's doing that. And that enrollment, by the way, is starting as we speak. The letters are in the process of going out right now. Enrollment officially starts March 15th through May 15th. So the plans go live July 1. So this is happening as we speak. But the ombudsman actually will not go live until April 15th. Mm-hmm. Now, the website went up yesterday. That's ncmedicaidombudsman.org. So people can go there if they want more information about what the ombudsman program does and how this managed care program works. But the program will not start answering phone calls until April 15th.
So I'm on Medicaid in North Carolina, and I've had a card, I guess, that allows me to get services when I go to the doctor, and things are going to change now. I'm going to get something in the mail that's going to say, look, you've got to pick an insurance company or pick one of these providers that's going to manage your care going forward. Is that the next thing that's going to happen for millions of people?
It's happening as we speak. Those mm-hmm. letters have already gone out to quite a few people, and the rest of them will have them within the next week. And the letter will say, do you have to enroll or you can't enroll at this time, or you have a choice whether to enroll. But one concern that we have is that the state's data for determining who has to enroll is not perfect. And there are some people who are going to get a letter saying they have to enroll may need some services that they can't get through managed care. Hmm. And they will have to do something called raise your hand, request to stay in regular Medicaid. Those are people who need extra services for mental illness, developmental disability, or substance abuse. And the ombudsman will be available to help people with that process.
Well, we hope so, because it just strikes me as sort of obvious that a person who's struggling with maybe substance abuse or mental health problems, their life is challenging as it is, and the idea of sort of negotiating a complicated new bureaucracy in order to find your health care could be especially challenging. So it seems like the ombudsman...
That's very true, and we're especially concerned about people who may, one day they're doing better and they don't need those services, so they fit under managed care. The next day they do need those services, and they have to get out of managed care in order to get those services from their area mental health authority. So there is a complexity built into this system that it does make it hard for people to navigate and why they are going to need help.
So what's the plan? The ombudsman program will be overseen by Charlotte Center for Legal Advocacy and other legal aid organizations around the state, and you'll be putting people to take phone calls and emails? Is that how it'll be set up? Will there be a bunch of employees?
Yes, it's all free, these services. It'll be a toll-free number that's free. It's all the available, all the information's at this website. I would also add that the Charlotte Center for Legal Advocacy, along with the National Law Program and the Justice Center and some others, are sponsoring, thanks to funding from the KP Reynolds Foundation, a free webinar. Hmm. So people who want to learn more about what's happening and what the rights for beneficiaries are, what the protections are for beneficiaries, can sign up for that. We've sent out a lot of invitations. The webinar is on March 19th, but if you didn't get one, you can email Rebecca F@charlottelegaladvocacy.org, and she will get you one.
Presumably that would be of use both to people who are themselves on Medicaid, but also people, maybe they're trying to help a friend, or maybe they work with their congregation and they're trying to help someone in need.
This is particularly for others who are trying to help people, healthcare providers, other nonprofit agencies, government agencies, local DSSs, to help, because we all are going to have to be involved in helping beneficiaries navigate the system.
So I guess a year from now, let's say, the hope is that this transition will have more or less fully taken effect and North Carolina's system of Medicaid provision will be better. That's, I guess, the hope, right? That it'll be more efficient.
And the goal is to improve health outcomes. And that's, again, one of the jobs of the ombudsman, to see if that's, to help the state measure, is that really happening? And to make sure that beneficiaries are heard in that whole process of what changes need to be made, Is this working? Can they get the care that they need? And so that is a critical sort of role in trying to not just fix the individual's problem, but address issues systemically.
As we said before, you're not here talking on behalf of the Ombudsman Program. You're talking as an advocate at Charlotte Center for Legal Advocacy. But you alluded to something early on in your comments that I think maybe is worth reiterating, which is that Medicaid in North Carolina remains a program that denies coverage to an awful lot of low-income people who, if they happen to have lived in another state, would be covered. And there's a new effort underway, new incentives coming from Washington, where we might actually expand this program, as the vast majority of states have done already, right?
That's absolutely right. North Carolina is way behind many others, very conservative states. Missouri just recently did it. You know, Kentucky has done it. Louisiana has done it. Mm-hmm. Virginia has done it. And it's just insane. Our rural hospitals are really suffering. And so many other parts of our healthcare system are suffering because of this gap where people are literally have too much income, or even if you have zero income, if you're an adult without children, you can't get Medicaid, but because your income is so low, you also can't get Obamacare. You can't get ACA subsidies. So that is this coverage gap that is just indefensible. And it's just an accident of history and a Supreme Court decision and the failure of our legislature, even though the federal government is basically paying for the whole thing,
right,
to act in a responsible way to get these people health coverage.
Maybe if there's some hope in the universe, we'll see that this new program, this new initiative with the Ombudsman Program and the switch to managed care will somehow light a new fire under the General Assembly. They'll recognize that this program is essential to providing health insurance to low-income North Carolinians, and maybe in 2021 we can finally close the coverage gap and take this important step. Thanks so much for your advocacy in this area. If folks want to learn more, what would be the best place to check? The website?
I would start with the website, ncmedicaidombudsman.org.
All right. That's ombudsman. It's a hard word, but it'll probably come up if you do a Google search for it. Doug, thank you so much. Please keep up the good work. We look forward to checking in with you again later in the year to see how this is going. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't done so already, please sign up to get vaccinated. Stay safe by following the pandemic safety protocols. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.